like, I can't with this weather, man. I am so sweaty right now.
Wow.
It's, it sounds kind of weird when it's not me saying it.
Yeah, right?
Like, how the hell do you do it, Sarah?
Well, ponytails, mostly. Moisture-wicking fabric as much as possible. You know, plus those, like, dry shampoo sheets you can get in, like, Boots or whatever. Those are pretty helpful for avoiding imminent sweat, aggravated chub rub. So, yeah, that's mainly it.
Like, I mean, that's just pretty good sweat hack information, Kate.
Wait, so, like, I'm just someone that rubs dry shampoo on their thighs now?
Well, I mean, ideally, you'd find somewhere private to do it first.
Oh, like your lady bits.
Oh,
Jesus Christ, man.
No, but, like, do you think anyone's ever had to go to, like, hospital after, like, dry shampoo on their pubes?
What? Why would someone not only want to just wash their pubes and not the rest of their body, but then only do so with dry shampoo?
People do a lot of weird shit on OnlyFans, Katie. I don't make the rules.
I mean, are you speaking from experience, certainly?
Well, I mean, I'm broke and there's famously few free content creators on OnlyFans. I think there's a gap in the market.
Think you might need to revisit the whole money-making side of Derek Lloyd.
Like, you should be able to make money giving stuff away for free.
Yeah, I've always said that.
Okay, this is devolving into total nonsense at, like, an alarming rate. Like, should we just play the title and just then do some proper book talk?
Yeah, I know. Like, I usually like it if we have something especially stupid that comes up before we cut.
What?
Dry shampoo up the lala wasn't enough, no?
That
is an excellent
point. You guys,
point.
This fixes nothing. Like, I'm still so sweaty.
Okay, there it is.
So, we're in agreement then. Like, chick lit is just real lit.
You know, I think we can all agree that we're building our first homes solely out of books by women.
Yeah. And I think we can all agree that K.E. is just as into K-pop as me, even though she thinks she's too cool and, like, won't talk about it when her block is around.
What is
you guys suppose K-pop and, like, romantic literature can both cure heartbreak? That's what I'm talking about.
Welcome to chick lit for life.
Do you guys have, like, any idea how often I misspell opening titles in this script as opening titties?
What? I think I can hazard a guess.
Well, it's definitely more than that.
Like, there are worse things than titties to have on the brain.
Ah, here, stop flirting, you two. Here, what we gonna do for this whole 10 years with BTS thing?
Like, nothing?
Well, like, you can't do anything, Katie. You stuck to your chair. But, like, the mobile, not sweaty members of this group, like, what we gonna do?
Okay. So, for people listening, illustrious K-pop Hall of Famers, BTS, are 10 years on since their debut, when they came on the scene. And for the yearly, like, BTS Festa this year, there's a social media 10 years of BTS challenge thing trending. And, like, what would we even do, Chloe?
Sarah, this is my last chance, okay, to get JK Opa over here to declare his love for me before he goes into the military. I mean, have some compassion right now.
I mean, that doesn't really answer the question, Chloe.
What blame question? We're doing it.
But, like, doing what?
I don't know, Sarah. You're the creative one. Figure out a way for JK to be like, oh my god, I must have her, even though her best mate is a sweaty puddle on the floor.
I mean, I already said I wasn't doing anything for it, so.
Okay, good. So, like, clearly he's gonna stalk my social media the second he sees me in the dress.
Like, what dress, Chloe? What are you talking about?
Like, I don't know, Sasha, okay? That's, like, I don't know yet. That's what you guys are here for. I can't do all this on my own, you guys.
Oh my god, I'm so confused right now.
I can't read.
I think we just have to move on and chalk this up to, like, anxiety over JK's upcoming enlistment, you guys.
Like, I won't be able to go live at 3 o'clock in the morning his time just so I can watch him eat ramen and sing karaoke about how much he misses me, girl.
Chloe, like, literally none of those songs.
Dude, just, like, let her have the fantasy.
Like, I would be fucking happy right here.
Seriously?
Chloe, would you like to slag Katie a little more, like, with that
what?
Help?
Like, she's just so fucking sweaty.
Okay. So moving on.
Oh my god, thank you.
Our book this show is Lunar Love by Lauren Kung Jessen. I think it's Jessen. It might be Jessen. We don't know if it's a soft J. We're eager to try to avoid being like, yeah, incredibly white in our back to romantic fiction buzz this series. And Jessen, we're going to go with the hard J. Jessen's debut, which is like a sweet romance centered around matchmaking using the Chinese zodiac, that like seemed right up our street. Exactly what we were aiming to achieve here.
Like, was it though?
Save it, sweatbox. We're going to do our excerpt and our author intro, and then you can go head to head with everyone.
Like, you're being kind of elitist, Katie.
Like, I am nice.
Like, borderline mansplaining. Hey, shut it down. Like, we are going to do our excerpt, and we are going to talk about all the theme stuff we came across and talked about pre-show, all right? This is not going to be you guys having an argument where no one will win, all right?
Yeah. Of course, Sarah, you're absolutely right.
I feel like weirdly complimented.
You should. You are both bull tick and will like never give up an inch in an argument.
Jez, if that's not a compliment, I don't know what is.
Fair. But moving on. Chloe, I was looking at my notes and you haven't read anything in forever. How about you take us through the author intro and the excerpt real quick?
You mean it?
Well, I mean, do you think you're able?
Well, Sarah, like,
it's what Jungkook-yo Park would want me to do.
Seriously, man. Like,
this is for you, Jungkook-yo Park.
All right. Okay. Right. So, Lauren Kung Jessen, is a mixed-race Chinese-American writer with a fondness for witty, flirtatious dialogue and making meals with too many steps but lots of flavor. That's spelled the American way, and I don't agree with that, okay? It's got a U in it. She is fascinated by myths and superstitions and how ideas, beliefs, traditions and stories evolve over time. From attending culinary school to working in the world of big tech to writing love stories, Lauren cares about creating experiences that make people feel something. When she's not writing novels, she works as a content strategist and user experience writer. She also has a food and film blog, A Dash of Cinema, where she makes food inspired by movies and TV shows. She lives in Nashville with her husband, who she met thanks to fate, read The Algorithms of Online Dating, two cats and a dog. You can find out more at Lauren Kung Jessen. That's spelled wrong in the script here. Say it. LaurenKungJessen.com.
I properly love, Clary, that like you're really aware of how echoey it is since we've had to move recording into this new studio.
It's so fucking echoey, girls. Like, what's going on? This is like, I'm not usually at this like low volume right now.
On what planet is this a low volume for you?
Well, in fairness, like, the clue is kind of in the name there. I mean, you're saying it's a low volume for Chloe, and I think we can all agree that this, you know, what you're operating on right now, Chloe, is it's pretty low considering.
Thank you, Kleena.
What are you doing coming in here with like facts and actual information, Kleena? That is not how we operate.
Operate.
Yeah, I was talking to my mom just before I came in. I will never do that again. There was a terrible, terrible call just before recording.
Is it your chair that keeps squeaking, Katie?
Oh my god, can you hear that on your earphone?
I'm having a mare right now, Katie.
Does it help with how you were feeling just there, Chloe?
You know, it really does. Thank you, Katie, for like being on a shit buzz right now.
Like, you're welcome. Okay, so as wholesome as all of this is, will we move on to the excerpt?
Yeah, excellent call, Sarah. This is where J.K. Opa really gets to like see me shine, girls. In my almost 8 years of matchmaking, there's one thing I know to be true. Love is like the moon. Case in point, love moves in phases. New love is a barely there whisper in the night sky, a slow burn into brightness. The relationship matures in the first quarter, advancing into full illumination, to compatible people becoming whole. The media passion wanes but doesn't disappear. I mean, me and JK Opa's passion is going to keep going for like fucking decades, but anyway. Instead, for like normal couples, the initial flash evolves into a steady glow. Like the moon, love is dependable. You don't have to see the moon or love to know they're there. Both the moon and love are romantic and enchanting, can be moody and mysterious, possess dark sides, and have gravitational pulls on us that we just can't control no matter how hard we try. The moon was formed when a large object collided into Earth, a happenstance so cataclysmically devastating that produced something so beautiful. When two people collide, there's the possibility that love will be created. There's also the potential for us and everything we've ever known to be thrown out of orbit. As a matchmaker at Lunar Love, my family's Chinese zodiac matchmaking business, it's my duty to keep clients and their relationships rotating on their axes? Yeah. And revolving in orbit. I should know that. I do science now. I make thoughtful and personalised matches based on people's compatible animal sign traits. My years of hard work have paid off because I'll officially be in charge of Lunar Love in just a few hours. By the end of the day, its legacy will be my responsibility. I've dedicated myself to my craft so one day I can be half as good as Papa. Pretty sure I'm saying that right. We looked it up before I started. But Mandarin is hard and it's, yeah, anyway, that's what we're going with, Papa, who has grown Lunar Love through the decades. Expectations to make matches is one thing, but when you're the granddaughter of Lunar Love's famously successful matriarch, whose match rate for Chinese zodiac matchmaking is near perfect, expectations reach truly celestial heights. I park in my usual spot in the public parking garage. It's a garage, I'm not going to say it the American way. Parking garage a couple of blocks from Lunar Love and weave through early bird tourists on the hunt for breakfast in Los Angeles, Chinatown. In the 8 minute walk, I can't believe she times her walk, but anyway, 8 minute walk from my car to Lucky Monkey Bakery, I watch vendors roll their boxes of vegetables and fruits on hand trucks and bump against the early morning shoppers eager to beat the crowds. Burnt orange lanterns are strung between colourful, also spelled the American way, I suppose it's saying Los Angeles, but still, colourful pagoda-style shops dotting the light blue cloud-speckled sky. Vivid murals recount Chinese legends, the colourful mosaics popping against the dulled brick. An incoming call from my mom glows on my phone screen. Before I can say hello, a voice at the other end frantically speaks. Where are you? Never mind, I need you to make a quick stop. I'm grabbing a late breakfast at Lucky Monkey, I say, quickening my pace. Ah, perfect. I need you to pick up extra buns. Distress in Mom's voice practically makes my cell phone vibrate. Don't you think the cake I made will be enough? Plus all the pastries Dad made, I asked, sidestepping a man carrying a tub of fish. Lucky Monkey's been open for a couple of hours already, so I don't know how much will be left. Papa wants cocktail buns for her birthday breakfast. Just choose an assortment of items, but don't forget cocktail buns. Apparently, she's having a coconut craving. I nod to myself. Got it. And a few bolo bows for me. One second. At a lower volume away from the phone, I hear Mom bark out more orders to my father, most likely. Have you decided on the balloons for Nina's cookie day? Mom asks, a question directed to me this time. Of course. I'm finalising the details on that today, I say, making a mental note. Okay, I'm here. See you soon. As I approach Lucky Monkey Bakery, my stomach grumbles in excitement. The bakery hasn't changed much in over 5 decades, with its unassuming facade featuring a single identifying sign written in Chinese characters. Forgot how to say Chinese there, which is upsetting because the whole book is about Chinese astrology. Anyway, behind his doors is a wonderland of sweet and savoury baked goods with a variety of fillings and cakes and tarts that look too pretty to eat. A wave of unexpected heat greets me when I step into the shop, the ringing of bells above the door, a soundtrack to my entrance. Near the entryway, the yellow walls are lined with framed photos and articles from magazines featuring the bakery. A Polaroid picture of me, my sister and my old best friend from 20 years ago catches my eye. Our noses and cheeks are covered in flair, our smiles almost bigger than our faces. I inhale the scent of butter, egg and sugar and continue on with my mission. The owners, Mei and Dale Zhang, a husband and wife who started their bakery around the time Popo first set up shop here, pack as much as they can into the small space. They became fast friends of Popo and I've known them my entire life. So while they're not technically blood related, they're as close to family as they can get. To me, they're just Mei Yipo and Dale Yigong and are practically my third set of grandparents. Mei Yipo and Dale Yigong have established a reputation for making colourful cakes and offering the widest variety of Asian baked goods. Once they sell out something, it's gone for the day, so regulars have to know to show up early to get first pick. Olivia, a voice shouts over the bustle of hungry visitors. Ni hao, it's nice to see you. I wave to Mei Yupo as she carefully slides a freshly frosted cake into the display case. Ni hao, I call out as I make my way to her. How are you doing today? I can't get the damn oven to turn off, so other than being drenched in sweat, great, Mei Yupo says, sweeping her bangs over to the left. Last summer, she chopped off all her silver hair into a pixie cut, which has accentuated her cheekbones and complemented her petite but strong frame. Mei Yupo twists another fruit-topped cake on a pedestal so that her piped whipped cream designs are prominently displayed. I hear Monday's a big day for you, she says. I nod. I'm really excited. It feels like yesterday that you and Nina were tiny little things coming in here and eating all of our steamed buns. Her eyes flick over to the wall of photos. How's your friend Colette doing? I hesitate before answering. I'm not sure, I admit, tensing up. I've been busy. Well, of course you are. You're in charge of the family business now, Mei Yupo says. In the air in front of her, she draws an arch with her hands. Olivia Huang Christensen, Chief Executive of Love. That's got a nice ring to it. That's not bad. I may need to have new business cards printed up, I say, playing along. It's about time you were in charge. Though I remember June starting Lunar Love like it was yesterday. Do I look as old as I feel? Mei Yupo wipes her hands on the towel hanging from her apron. She's the one who taught me how to bake when I was younger. When Purpo and Auntie Lydia, my mom's sister who took over Lunar Love after Purpo retired, were busy with clients, I'd sneak over here to help mix icing and watch dough rise. Not even a little, I say. Are you still going to Popo's birthday party today? I won't miss it. Dale won't be there, unfortunately, since he'll be covering for me. Sounds like he's finally feeling better. Much better. The doctor says it was just stress. I'm sure you know the pressure to sell has been increasing all over town with new restaurants coming in. Like, it's hard to compete with shiny things. Mei Yupo swipes crumbs off the counter into her hands as she talks. Very dangerous to his heart. Have you been approached by the vultures yet? Who? I ask, confused. Real estate agents, she clarifies. Oh, not that I know of, I say, thinking back on recent non-client visitors. They act all sneaky and try to befriend you, but at the first sign of weakness, they swoop in and try and buy your land out from under you. Mei Yupo claps her hands together, staring at me. That was hard to say. It happened to our friends at the bookstore next to you. We need to hold strong so we don't lose the essence of what makes Chinatown special, I say. Mei Yupo pushes her glasses up the bridge of her nose. Exactly. Good girl. Anyways, go. Go. We know you're going to do great things with Lunar Love. We're so proud. Thanks, Mei Yupo. I smile at her, grateful for her support. See you at the party. I select a pair of tongs and a small cream-coloured tray-lined apartment. I take count of what remains after the early morning rush through the illuminated plastic cases presenting the day's fresh creations. My eyes fall over the seemingly endless options. Sweet and savoury buns, steamed and baked buns, egg tarts, mochi donuts, sesame balls and Swiss rolls. I squeeze past the woman loading up her tray with red bean buns and bend over to grab two ham and cheese buns with my tongs. They look identical. Their brown tops glossy from baked egg wash. I open the case door directly above the ham and cheese buns to pick out bolo bells for Mom. She loves these sweet buns because they resemble pineapple skin with their scored yellow tops, even though there's actually no pineapple in them. They're Lucky Monkey's best-selling item, so Mei Yupo always makes sure to bake triple the amount compared to other treats. Having already memorised the pastry placements, I take two steps to my right and secure the last baked pork bun. Then, without hesitation, I open the plastic case next to the now empty tray of meat-filled mounds and reach in for the last cocktail bun for Purpo. Before my tongs reach the puffy pastry, another pair of tongs swoops in before my eyes to grab the sesame seed sprinkled treat. Oops, excuse me. I look over at the offender who just swiped Popo's breakfast. I expect to see the woman with the full tray of red bean buns, but instead a tall man stands beside me. I nod towards the cocktail bun on his tray. I didn't see you there, but I was actually here first. Would you mind? The man looks at me with a surprised expression. Would I mind moving? Sure. He takes a couple of steps back from the wall of cases. No. The cocktail bun is mine. The man looks down at the pile of food. I had my tongs on it first, therefore I have first pick. It's a law. My tongs were on that bun before you ripped it out of my cold metal grip, I casually explain. I eye up the cocktail bun, the sides still looking soft from them recently being pulled apart. Across the surface of the bun, which is baked to golden perfection, are two white lines of sweet cream. That's quite the dramatic retelling of what just happened. I'd love to hear your version of what happens when I keep the bun. The man smiles, his cheeks push in crinkled lines up around his delighted eyes. I gesture with my tongs to signify my personal space. I was clearly here before you. The man raises both eyebrows. If you move too slowly, you miss out. What's that saying? If you're browsing for fun, you don't get the bun. I think it actually goes, when you cut me off, things are going to get rough. I retort, slightly amused. No, I haven't heard of that one. You see, it's my popo's birthday, and if I don't get her that cocktail bun, well, I'll be a disappointment to her. You wouldn't want that for me, right? I ask sweetly. I look into the light shading of his deep-set eyes, and for a moment, I'm at a loss as to what colour they are. How do you know that I'm not taking this bun to my popo? The man says. His use of the Chinese term for maternal grandmother surprises me. You'll have a popo that also happens to be obsessed with cocktail buns, I ask suspiciously. Actually, my popo prefers egg tarts. She's got a thing for puff pastry and butter, he replies, glancing over the cases next to us. But that's beside the point. Before I can make my rebuttal, a young boy pushes past me to snatch the last Swiss roll out of the case. Great, there goes the last one, I shout, looking at the vacant platter and throwing my hand up to overemphasise my distress. Maybe this approach will work. I can tell you need this bun more than I do, if you really want it, he says. We can make a trade. A trade? My pulse begins to race. His eye colour is on the tip of my tongue. Yeah, a good old-fashioned barter, he says, looking entertained. He colours me with his colour I can't quite place eyes, unnerving me. There's a soulful depth to them that draws me in, making me forget why I'm staring at him in the first place. The man clears his throat and I refocus. Sure, you can have my bolo bow and I'll take your cocktail bun, I offer. I make a move for my prize, but the man gently clutches my wrist with his tongs, guiding my arm back to my tray. Whoa, hold on. No deal. There's still a pile of those. I could grab 5 of them right now if I wanted to. Therefore, your trade is worthless, he says. On the tray, he has 2 slices of Swiss rolls, 1 rainbow and 1 vanilla, a Chinese hot dog bun, 2 curry beef puffs, and my cocktail bun. You clearly have an agenda, I say. So what is it you want? Ham and cheese? They look extra delicious this morning. The man vocalizes his thinking with him. The cocktail bun for your pork bun, he finally offers. I hesitate and look down at what was going to be my breakfast, fully knowing it's the last pork bun. Your cocktail bun and Swiss roll for my pork bun, I say firmly, throwing in a curveball. That's my final offer. He glances over at the empty Swiss roll case and pauses before finally agreeing. I normally have a 92% success rate with negotiations. This is hands down the worst deal I've ever made, but I'm impressed by your bargaining skills, so you've got yourself a deal. And I want the vanilla one, I add, studying him. He has a kind face, his quick to smile demeanour disarming me. On his upper right cheek is a small coffee-coloured beauty mark. What's the difference? I'm pretty sure the rainbow Swiss roll tastes like vanilla too, he says, poking the dessert with the silver utensil. How do you know this one's better? It's not that it's better, I just have a particular preference for the golden one, I say flatly, holding out my tray towards him. Whatever you want. A dimpled smile spreads across his face. I barely manage to pull my gaze away from the deepening shadowed spots. I bet those dimples have broken hearts before. He places the cocktail bun on my tray and hesitantly grabs a Swiss roll with his tongs, looking pained to be parted with it. Goodbye, new friend. It was nice almost enjoying you. The man places the slice of Swiss roll onto my tray and in the same smooth movement grabs the pork bun. Enjoy that, I murmur. I can't help but smile. Nice doing business with you, he says, snapping his tongs playfully like lobster claws. A snorted laugh sneaks out. The man gives a slight wave before heading to the register. I grab a few more baked goods before paying, lingering a while so the man can leave and so my heart can stop fluttering. When I push the door open, I realise I didn't wait long enough. The man from the bakery loiters on the sidewalk, staring at his cell phone. The damn bells above the door jingle, betraying me, giving up my location. Bakery guy looks up at me. You back for another barter? He asks with a pleased look. I lift the heavy bag of food. I do have more leverage now. We both turn in the same direction. I'm not following you, but I do have to go the same way, I say with an awkward laugh. The man's hair is a lighter shade of brown than it looked in the bakery's yellow fluorescent lights. I sneak a look at his eyes once more. Hazel. His eyes are hazel. In the sunshine, I can see that there's a fleck of gold around the pupils. He stretches to adjust his posture, his shoulders broadening and expanding his evergreen coloured polo, which looks soft from years of wear. He comes off as someone who wants to remain low-key but still appear put together. "No problem," he says, sliding his sunglasses on. I walk at his pace but stay about 6 feet to the right. "What brings you out this early?" bakery guy asks, filling the silence. "Picking up breakfast. I meant it when I said I was bringing food to my popo's birthday. You almost denied a 90-year-old woman her favourite bun." The man's eyes widen. "Yikes. She's lucky to have a clever granddaughter to win it back." I grin to myself. "What about you?" "I just had to pick up something for my office downtown. I like to grab breakfast here sometimes. We're looking for offices in the area since co-working spaces are expensive." "On a Saturday? Your boss must love you," I say. Bakery guy looks over at me. "Work never really shuts off for us." I nod slowly. "Chinatown's really changing. I can't imagine your co-working space is more expensive than here." "At least here there's room for negotiation," he says with a smirk. "I hope your future negotiations go better than today," I say, thinking about Mei Yipo's warning of vultures. My stomach grumbles louder for breakfast and I dig around my tote bag for the vanilla Swiss roll and a fork. I pierce the roll, breaking off a bite with an even ratio of cake and filling. From the weight of the buns, my tote slips down my shoulder, sending my arm off balance. The vanilla roll wobbles precariously as my arm instinctively reacts to stabilise my back. Bakery guy is quicker. He closes the distance between us and reaches out to grab my canvas bag. His hand brushes against my forearm, sending unanticipated tingles up the length of my neck. He slides the tote up smoothly, cautiously moving my hair back so it doesn't tug under the handles. Smooth. My cheeks are warm. I'm at a loss for words. Something resembling a thanks stumbles out of my mouth. "Can't resist losing that roll too," he says with a smile. "Mind me asking your name?" I glance over my shoulder and look him up and down. "My friends call me Liv," I say. "What do your friends call you?" "You have nice friends. Mine call me asshole," he says with a joking tone. Bakery guy reaches into his plastic bag and pulls out his own vibrant Swiss roll slice. Slinging the handles of the bag onto his forearm, he uses his palm as a makeshift plea. "I'm going to open this. Can I count on you to not try and swipe this one too? I'm real hungry." There's nothing in this moment I want more than to take that Swiss roll from him just to prove a point. Obviously I won't. Plus, his boyish excitement for his Swiss roll is too endearing. I nod and he starts unrolling the swirly slice into a flattened cake layer. "What are you doing?" I ask, perplexed. "What you mean?" he asks. I nod towards his hands. "Da! I'm eating my breakfast," he says. The confusion on his face is priceless. "This cake requires delicate rolling to achieve the perfect spiral," I explain. "Really?" Bakery guy uses his fork and gently scrapes off the filling from the centre of the now flattened spiral. "I did not just see you scoop the filling out," I groan. The colours of the rainbow cake glow in the morning light, the sides bending up and looking sad not to be living their full spiral potential. The man scrapes, eats. "Did you see that?" he asks playfully. "The cake and the filling are meant to be enjoyed together so you have an equal ratio of creamy filling to chiffon cake and their flavours are complementary to one another." "I like eating the sweetest part of the dessert first," he explains, taking another bite of the sweet cream. "I know it's a bit different, but I like different." My lips lift into a smile. "Just for fun, or..." "I like knowing that the first bites of my meal will be good, and this way I know I'll have room for it." "Don't judge me," he says dramatically. "When you do something like that, you're begging to be judged," I say with a laugh. "I'm just trying to understand what motivates a pastry thief to do such a thing." I wiggle another well-balanced bite off my roll. Bakery guy lets out a full, genuine laugh. It's a warm sound that unexpectedly and instantly puts me at ease. He shrugs and then takes another bite of filling. "I've never met anyone so passionate about baked goods," he says before diving into the cake itself. "I enjoy and respect the process of baking, and it de-stresses me. Well, normally. Swiss rolls are tricky. I'm still trying to figure out how to roll the cake without it cracking. Once you get the hang of it, you can keep your hands off my rolls," he says humorously, his cheeks turning rosy. "What else do you like to bake?" We walk side by side, the crowd around us growing. A bicyclist barrels down the sidewalk in front of us, weaving through people jumping out of his way. Without thinking, I reach up and place my hand on Bakery Guy's shoulder, guiding him out of the man's unpredictable path. He feels warm and sturdy, his shoulders sculpted, but not so much that I think he spends every off hour at the gym. My voice sort of wobbled there a little bit. I'm obviously thinking about his shoulders right now, and that's fair enough. That's the power of writing, people. I should not know this. Neither should I. I immediately pull my hand back, crossing my arms tightly. You might have just saved my life, he quips. All in the morning's work, I respond with a smile. I squeeze my hand that touched him into a fist. I remember his question and try to pick the conversation back up smoothly as though I hadn't just caressed his shoulder. As for what I like to bake, Anton with chocolate, like cookies or brownies, cinnamon rolls, sourdough bread. The man nods. Very nice. Did you know that sourdough is the oldest form of leavened bread? Food historians believe that the use of leavening was discovered by the Egyptians. Until there was commercial yeast, all leavened bread used naturally occurring yeasts. Why do you know that? I look up at him, amused. I love learning about history, mostly so I can whip out interesting facts and sound smart at parties. He grins. I'm sure these random facts come in handy when you're trying to impress the ladies, I say, looking away and rolling my eyes at myself. The ladies? Did I just say that out loud? Rarely, he says. Only when there's someone worth trying to impress. He gives me a lingering look and now I blush. We curve around tourists taking photos and lines of workers waiting for their breakfast orders. 6 minutes later, I realise I've completely bypassed my car. I slow my steps. I'm that way, I say. The real world calls. Maybe I'll see you around? He asks tentatively. I pull my sunglasses off and get one last good look at him. Maybe. If you're even able to afford office space here, I say. Bakery guy takes a step closer to me and pushes his sunglasses above his head. Then let's hope prices aren't too high, he says with a smile. My pulse quickens at the nearness of him. I look down at his chest and confirm that I'm just imagining the electric field vibrating between our bodies. It was nice meeting you, asshole, I say with a smirk, sneaking one last glance at his hazel eyes. Bakery guy raises his eyebrows, his startled look transforming into a throaty laugh. Meeting you was a very nice surprise. I reorient myself and walk back to my car, reflecting on our interaction. As I think back on Bakery Guy's traits, I come to a horrifying realisation. For the first time in my entire career of being a matchmaker, I didn't think to consider this man's zodiac animal sign for a single second.
Oh my god!
Hey, woo! There you go, Chloe!
Yay! No, Katie, I said no. First, we have to catch folks up on what's going to happen in the story, okay? First of all. So, yeah, okay. The blurb of the book is always a matchmaker, never a match. Olivia Huang Christensen, who we just met, is excited / terrified to be taking over her grandmother's matchmaking business. But when she learns that a new dating app has made her popo's traditional Chinese zodiac approach all about animal attraction, her emotions skew more towards furious / outraged. Especially when LA's most eligible bachelor, Bennett O'Brien, who we also just met, is behind the app that could destroy her family's legacy. Liv knows better than to fall for any guy, let alone an infuriatingly handsome one who believes that traditions are meant to be broken. As the two businesses go head to head, Bennett and Liv make a deal. They'll find a match for each other, and whoever falls in love loses. But Liv is dealing with someone who's already adept at stealing business ideas. So what's stopping him from stealing her heart too? But that's like exactly what... No. We really need to take a break first and foremost. But you are not going to get a chance to talk in the second half for like ages, Katie. Serge and Klee have barely said anything so far.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, I'm usually so loquacious.
Come on, Klee. Have your moment.
Yeah, but like, I mean, that's mostly just swearing. So
never change, man. but no, yes, we are going to take the quickest break ever, but we will be back in just a sec for more Chick Lit for Life. Do not go anywhere.
June is Pride Month, and before we close up shop here at DUC, we want to share just how much we love and appreciate our LGBTQ+ students and faculty. So, join us for 2023 Pride here at DUC. Join us for Paris is Burning and All Night Ballroom at the Hub. Come to a special screening of Jenny Livingston's 1990 love letter to ballroom before we face off for the rest of the night over the hottest ball in the house from the last 40 years. visit our trans visibility space. As you're passing through the quad this month, stop and take in one of the pieces being projected on the St. Vincent Millay building. There'll be TED Talks, performance and poetry, and musical performances by trans artists in the most wide open space on campus. Come share in trans joy and visibility. Join Mangasok for their discussion on the work of pioneering LGBTQ artist Tagame Gengoro. Expect challenging imagery, societal expectations, and comparisons between pre-modern acceptance of homosexuality versus modern puritanism. Literary Pride. The girls at Chick Lit for Life will be hosting a panel on LGBTQ representation in popular books. Revisit their series on LGBTQ authors ahead of attending. All this and much more this Pride Month at DUC. Stay tuned.
Like, it is pretty cool that they're spotlighting our queer authors series. It's, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Girls, did I tell you they figured out my panel outfit?
Like, oh my actual god, we are trying to highlight queer authors and all you can think about is your silver fucking corset, man.
Yes, and nod to Beyonce doing the whole Renaissance thing and not being basically ballroom all over again, Katie. Oh my god.
Oh, okay, so you're going to honour a straight lady who constantly talks in her music about her hetero marriage and biological children, and that's supposed to be, like, you being a queer ally right now?
Didn't Beyonce do, like, a song with Sid on that album, though?
Yeah, and, like, I think she's been, like, super vocal about queer causes and stuff over the years. I mean, like, not Lady Gaga vocal, but, you know, supportive.
Yeah, that talk show clip where Lady Gaga is asked would she accept her hypothetical child if they weren't gay, and she said no, like, that might be my favourite thing I've ever seen.
Like, including that Mamamoo performance where Hwasa wore the JYP plastic pants?
Second favourite thing I've ever seen.
But yes, yeah. Aside from that, we had our excerpt of Lauren Kung Jessen's Lunar Love just before the break. Where do we want to start with this?
Well, I mean, this could be controversial, but, you know, we could start at the beginning. Oh, that's very good.
It is, isn't it?
Okay, no, you're going to get to say your piece, but we should talk plot and characters and connections first. And, you know, yes, you're right, Serge. Let's start at the beginning. What did you have in mind?
Is it Bennett's arms, Serge?
Because, like, if it's not, it really should be.
No, unfortunately, no, Chloe. We should make the audience wait for that.
Nice. Don't give it up too early. I like it.
Unless it's Jungkook from BTS.
You can't give it up to someone if your soulmate cleaning.
What were you gonna say, Serge?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the opening. Like that idea that love and attraction and everything, it has to change over time. That idea about love being like the moon changing over time. There's initial attraction and passion and all that stuff, but it gives way to intimacy and a bond that sort of carries you through your whole life if you're lucky. And like, it was really interesting to think about like whether I thought about that as a supportive idea or a disappointing one.
So, like, the idea that the whole butterflies really attracted to them, can't keep your hands off each other thing, like, that goes away.
Right, because, like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, when we, like, talk about, I don't know, having crushes or, like, seeing people you're into and stuff, like, that's what you think about. Like, you think about how exciting it would be to get together, and you kind of don't think about anything past that.
But, like, that'd be, like, real weird, though. Like, if some bloke was like, oh, I just really want to go Tesco's with you and fight over which cereal we going by, like, there would be a Chloe-shaped hole in the wall of the nightclub, girls.
Okay, I can't handle how much I love that you're having that hypothetical conversation in a nightclub.
Well, I mean, these country blokes be coming up to Dublin and going coppers, clean it. Like, I don't think it won't happen at some stage. Like, some lad wants to score, which is grand, provided he meets the minimum requirements. Like, but then he starts talking to me about how he needs to find a girl to settle down with because he's going to have to take over the family farm. Like, no. Like, if anything, this conversation has shown me that I need to firm up my escape plan for this very scenario, and I would like to personally thank Ms. Kung Jensen for identifying this serious gap in my security plan. But like, it is a really interesting thing though, Serge. You're right. Like, say Elsie, you know, our writer and producer and technically us because she does all our voices.
Well, be nice about her, Sarah, or you're going to get caught from the next episode.
But like, you see her and her bloke, like, having the best fun ever.
God, they're like so embarrassing, girls.
Like, what's the story with like pretending to be a 10-year-old boy from Tala thing that they think is so funny?
Not like, seriously, like, no one cares that you think it's real funny to put on a voice and be all, oh, what's that yoke? That's mad. That is, oh, I'm stupid and 10. Like, what is that?
Like, I swear, man. And like, they're falling around the place laughing. It's so dumb.
Well, it was nice working with his girls.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But, like, yeah. Like, you see them and they're this super wholesome married couple. They have all this mutual respect and they have, like, loads of fun. And they're, like, this team and stuff. Like, they both get to be 100% themselves all the time. They're together. And, like, that's not something you can do with other people. And it's really cool. But the whole thing of like being 19, 20, you know, and getting excited about a new person that might like you and that whole thing, like I kind of can't imagine being in a relationship so long that like you never get that back, you know?
Right, like that's exactly it. Because like, let's be real, like that's really fun. Like the whole, you know, like manufacturing reasons to see someone you like, and like then when you're alone with them, you've got all those like chemicals rushing around your system and it's just,
yeah, yeah.
Well, like it's kind of hard when you're not straight though, I think.
No. Like maybe I'm just awkward, but like, like, you know the way girls are, like, affectionate anyway and, like, flirty almost, even if they're not into girls? So, like, you can pick up on that energy and, like, those situations that you're talking about, Serge. Like, I'm anxious just thinking about it because, like, the chances of the girl I'm interested in being, like, oh, no, I don't like girls, I just do this because it's fun or something, like, that's, like, really, really high. And I'd take being in a relationship any day of the week to get away from navigating that whole minefield.
Okay, so like now can we start talking about Bennett's arms?
Okay, Chloe, what insights do you have to share?
Insights?
What, like that they're like nice and all?
Jesus Christ. What? People would have more to say on the subject and I could like do all the agreeing or disagreeing as needed, Katie.
But like, I guess, yeah, we do need to talk about Bennett, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We do. We really, 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 really do. Also his arms. Come on.
Oh my God.
What? To talk about that, I guess we'd have to get into like the whole compatibility versus incompatibility thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I was really excited about like, yeah, the focus on the whole zodiac thing, like going into reading this book. And to be honest, I would have liked kind of more of that.
But like it's interesting because like we've talked about that, about like the Chinese zodiac and the Greek zodiac and all that, like loads since reading this book. And like we've done our own research and stuff. And like maybe we wouldn't have done that if there was more information on it in the book.
Like what type of things were you researching? Is that why you wanted my birthday, man?
Why else would we want? Are you like, are you expecting a surprise party now?
Like, no.
Oh, Katie, so
like,
cute.
Katie, of course we'd do something for your birthday, but like, it's during the summer. You'd have to come back from Galway.
No, like, I mean, like, it'd be pretty surprising if you guys came to Galway to throw me a party.
Fuck's sake.
No, it's fine. Like, I don't even, like, celebrate my birthday or whatever.
Here, like, Mammy and Daddy Morphy aren't there baking birthday cakes for you from scratch and, like, buying you a car and shit.
Chloe, for the last time, they said I could have my brother's car. Now that he's changing it, that is not the same as them buying me a new car.
Okay, so who's going to insure it and pay for the NCT and all that shit?
But like, that's like, I'm not even getting the car for my birthday, man.
So you gonna get more presents on top of that?
Like, what is, like, this is
is not okay.
Okay. Chloe, stop bullying Katie.
It was so much fun though, Sarah.
Can we get back on track here, please? Good call. So like, yeah, for real. Like, why would anybody feel the need to ask this guy for guidance? Like, it's definitely as crazy as asking any dead dude that was alive a bajillion years ago for guidance. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, yeah, I do tend to agree. Like, I did think it was kind of wild for someone to be that invested in the Zodiac.
Like, Saoirse, you be the one sending me stuff on TikTok about how Mercury in retrograde right now, so...
Okay, yes. Well, that is actually true. So, see, this is the thing, though. Like, there's just something really, I don't know, comforting about the Zodiac. Like, with religion, yeah, you're trusting that the rules you've been given are enough to, like, live your life by. And in fairness, in terms of morals and ethics and stuff, the lessons and things you're given in organized religion are, like, you know, pretty much the same. Be kind to each other, try to deny yourself pleasurable things because not everyone has access to the things you do, be aware that we're all the same, blah, 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 blah. But, like, the thing about the Zodiac is, and astrology and everything, it attempts to, like, explain some of what's going on. Like, it might even give you advance warning of things that are coming down the pipe in the future. Like, or, like, how you specifically might be able to get through things that are coming your way. And, like, that's so, so attractive. Like, it provides this feeling of control because there's, like, I don't know, insider knowledge of your life, kind of. Like the same could be said for tarot or palmistry or any kind of, like, fortune telling. And I don't know how I feel about that because it sort of feels like it's an opportunity for people that are vulnerable to get, like, way too attached to it. Like holding on to a memory of a relationship or a family member, and instead of, like, dealing with, like, the loss or whatever, maybe you go to a medium or somebody like that just so you can keep reliving the past instead of moving forward, you know? Or, like, say people that only do certain things that they want to do when there are no planetary signs or movements that are, like, getting in the way of it.
Well, I mean, like, that's a pretty central theme in the book.
Huh? Oh, the compatibility thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's the main thing.
But, like, here, no, like, did you think it was, like, sort of weird that, like, if you're basing who you getting with, yeah, on the Chinese zodiac, which is, like, a whole year is a zodiac sign and all, that, like, no one be getting together, like, would be the same age, because if you're the same age, you're the same sign and stuff.
Well, like, it started to make sense considering how ancient a system it is. Like, back in feudal China or whatever, like, it'd make a lot of sense for women to be a good bit younger than the men did have ended up with, like, for, like, childbearing and economic, like, reasons and stuff. Like, a man would have to have a decent amount of money or stability or whatever, right, before he'd be able to, like, support the family, and a woman would have a fairly shite time with pregnancy back then, even if she was, like, 19 and not 35. And, like, from what Liv was saying in the book, like, it sounds like there are workarounds for that, like, the sign being a whole year anyway, like, taking into account people's rising sign and stuff like that.
But, like, is that not really annoying though? Like, because you see people posting stuff on TikTok and Instagram about astrology all the time, but they're, like, mixing and matching from, like, different zodiacs, like, using Greek and Chinese astrology together and then adding in a bunch of, like, rising and cardinal signs and then, like, other planets into the mix to, like, and it's got to be to, like, counteract tons of what's highlighted in, like, the main sign traits. Like it just feels like a way for people to feel like they're special just by, like, recognizing themselves in a list of traits that contain, like, fucking every human trait there is. Okay, so just to make sure that I'm understanding here, like, you're against people feeling seen and important in the content they consume on social media.
Okay, that is not what I said.
Sarah?
Yeah, sorry, fam. For people to feel like they're special just by, like, recognizing themselves in a list of traits that contain, like, fucking every human trait there is.
Well, I mean, if you're going to take it out of context like that.
But no, but like, I really don't see why people get so pressed about astrology. Like genuinely, who cares? Like, so people think it's important they're Virgo. So what? Like, if we were talking about transgender rights and dead naming, you'd be so far on the other side of the debate, Katie.
Yeah, well, like, people don't be, like, getting murdered for being Virgos, though, Saoirse.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What? I take my Katie Morphy takedowns very seriously, girls. You need to know the standard responses if you go and craft a quality born, all right? That's just common sense.
You are truly a worthy adversary,
and
Chloe.
I mean, it's an honor to do battle with you, Katie. Even, you know, if you do whistle when you order a subway.
Okay, like one time that happens.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Okay, I need to know what this is immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it was okay. Amazing. All right, so, like, okay. So I wanted, like, a turkey club on wheat bread, yeah? But, like, if I say wheat the way I say wheat, like
it sounds like she either wants cannabis or urine in her bread.
Okay, which I want neither, all right? Just to be clear. So, like, okay, I'm gonna enunciate the shit out of this WH right here.
You're not serious.
Oh, it was amazing, Sarah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I asked for my sandwich on wheat bread.
She was doing a TikTok.
Like, it would have been way less embarrassing if I was, man.
Oh my.
That's proper. Okay, what have I got proper on the script?
Yes, will they, won't they? All right. Okay. Okay,
yeah. Back to the agenda. But yes, that whole, yeah, will we get together, won't we get together thing at the beginning. Yeah, when you like someone. Yeah, like loads of people do like a lot of deep diving on astrology then. You know, a lot of the time. And yeah, how different is that to what we see in the book, you know?
Yeah, like this is the thing. Like, it's a way to feel like we were saying, like in control of the situation and like there's a definite way that your desires are going to be met. Like, it is kind of mad though, because like there's no way to know how someone's going to be.
Sure there isn't?
Yeah, like that's what Liv was trying to do though, innit? Like making sure that anyone she was matching like has exactly the right signs to be together, so that like if anything goes wrong with them, like she did the right thing. They're just weirdos that like don't do their zodiac signs properly. Like, in fairness, I don't think it was that cynical on her side.
Like, maybe not consciously, but like she did seem like she was like putting so much energy into the whole matchmaking thing so she could find like the perfect match for someone, like on paper. Like that way in her mind, kind of, the relationships could never fail. And like, even if they did, she like did everything right. And like, what else could she have done, kind of thing? It really did seem like a cover in her ass type thing.
Well, like, even if, yeah, I do see what you're saying, but like, I don't know that covering her ass is fair. Like, I've read about the idea of like perfectionism as a response to trauma, like a lot, like everything being super, super perfect and trying to get out in front of other people's needs and always being busy and sort of never finishing anything. Like, it is a way to protect yourself from accepting how you never really know what's coming. Like, if you're always planning for how things can go wrong and working your hardest to like follow all the rules, you can feel like you're working towards making things better for yourself or something. Do you know what? I'm not actually making any sense right
now. No, I understand what you mean, all right.
But like, it is an interesting point, Sarah, because like doing all of that work and like being so, I don't know, calculated about how people should get together and everything, it kind of, I don't know, you kind of remove the possibility of someone challenging you, which could be scary to some people, but it's also like, it is exciting to have someone challenge you, and you are removing it by doing that. Yeah, you see, like, I don't see how that would be exciting. Like I know with Elsie, we've been talking about her a lot this episode, but I know she often says that, like, she felt a kind of resistance to her bloke at first, and like thinking about it, she said, you know, that like she thinks it's because he's this person that like would challenge her as an equal, like doesn't go in for a manipulation or like talking down to her, like any of the toxic traits that she's like used to in relationships.
Yeah, it's so mad that like in a lot of cases toxic relationships might feel preferable to healthy ones, because like at least you know how to navigate the toxic one. Like, yeah, seeing the disappointment and like confusion in a normal person's face when they see you're crazy, it's like, yeah.
No, I don't give a shit. It's no excuse for all that. Oh, I can see it now. He'll forget to FaceTime me while he's away working. And then when he does FaceTime me, he'll do a fart or something. And then the whole relationship will be meaningless.
He'll do a fart or something.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, Saoirse.
Well, I mean, I definitely am, but please continue.
Well, Jungkook Yopa, yeah, did a live stream a few weeks ago that was like definitely just for me, but he had to invite everybody else in ARMY for contractual reasons. And like, he was to leaning over to get something, or I can't really remember. I was too hypnotized by his magnificence. But like, yeah, he did a fart. And girls, what? You know, oh, it just makes me love him more that he's that comfortable around me, you know.
And, you know, the 2 million other people that were watching at that time.
Contractual reasons, Sarah. All right?
Okay, I do actually really dig that, like, you're quieter now with this echoey room.
You know, it is harder to like bring myself to scream into the microphone when, yeah, plus I think someone turned up my mic.
Oh my god, would that have worked if I'd have done that like months ago?
Excellent work, Sarah. Quality contributions right now.
No, but I was gonna say something. Oh yeah. So that confusion when you're confronted with a real attraction thing, Kleena, you were talking about that, like not wanting to get into it because it's too scary, kind of like we do see that with Liv's first encounter with Bennett.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. And like, yeah, later that whole, but I don't like him, but why am I so infatuated? Like, maybe I just need to get this out of my system thing. Like, yeah, I get that.
Here, when you be getting stuff out of your system with blokes, can't you, Morphe? And why am I hearing about it?
No, like, it's just like, no, like, I get it.
Yeah. Which would indicate you've been in a similar position at one time or another in the past, innit?
Oh my god.
Okay, you tried to kill Katie, Chloe.
And you might have succeeded. Are you okay, Kate?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right.
Oh my god, dude.
Have some water.
But yeah, maybe as a celebration of your kill, Chloe, you can take our listeners through. Let me just check the notes you sent me. Yes, Bennett being a ride right here. Okay. So, Bennett being a ride. Yes.
Any particular like ridey things that stand out to you on that particular topic, Chloe?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Saoirse, there was some suggestive leaning on a chair in his office at one point, which I particularly enjoyed.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Related forearm action was decidedly ride-esque behaviour.
Yeah, can corroborate. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so aside from all that, like, in fairness, like, Bennett was a pretty great character. Like, he was, like, really willing to put himself out there in, like, a lot of embarrassing ways for Liv.
No, but, like, mortifying ways, like hard to believe ways, man.
Here, slow down, Sparky. You're gonna get your chance to complain.
You were like, who done you?
Spoilers. Not okay, man.
Fine, Jesus.
Well, like, I mean, it's not like I like guys or anything, but I mean, as far as Bennett goes, I mean, I can appreciate a well-placed car wreckage joke when I see one. Yes. And for that to make sense, you definitely have to read the book, because that joke might have been my favourite part.
Yeah, very much my speed.
Oh.
Can you have to, like, just go outside or something when you're going to do that in future? but I don't get it, though. Like, I get that Liv was, like, all weirded out by, like, her ex, and, like, she decided to deal with it by obsessively doing the compatibility thing from then on. But, like, Bennett a riot, girls.
But no, yeah, I was thinking about that a lot. Like you assume that you need to have a load of things in common for a relationship to work. But like, at what point does that get like boring?
Yeah, or competitive.
Exactly. And like, what things are surface level similarities versus like you both actually having the same values deep down, you know? Like, it's the same as those people that like have a type. Like, they must often get boxed in with like one type of person and keep repeating the same patterns over and over.
Yeah, you'd wonder, does approaching relationships from a compatibility place, like, does it make it harder to get to know the person underneath? Like, if you're checking off characteristics of a person that is compatible with me, like, are you seeing them as a whole person or like even want to learn about them as a whole person, or do you just see them as that list of characteristics?
Yeah, I sort of felt like on top of the whole compatibility is the tool to stop bad shit from happening, like it was also like, well, I didn't feel this, like it was pretty clear in the book, but like it was this way for Liv to like connect to the Chinese part of her heritage, because she's only half Chinese, and like that might have been part of why she was so like obsessive about it.
Yeah, that idea of being worried about whether you're appropriating a culture when you have relatives from that culture but you're mixed heritage, like that's something I hadn't thought about too much, and it's something that like initially I was like, oh, how can you say that someone with mixed heritage isn't entitled to enjoy part of that heritage? That's crazy. But then, yeah, I was thinking Irish Americans,
man.
No, like they make me so sad, like calling Dolittle Street Dolittle Street, and like talking about their granny being from Cork, like the Brazilian waitress in the restaurant actually gives a fuck.
Yeah, like I love Conan O'Brien like more than some family members, but like the story about him getting out of the car in like Wexford or somewhere to like kiss the ground because that's what you do when you get there is possibly the most American thing I've ever heard, and every time I think about it a little part of me dies.
No, but like I do think that weirdness is like linked to how disappointed Americans are that O'Connell Street doesn't look like the set of The Quiet Man, and that we don't all have a pig in the front room. And like I think that the issue that we have with Irish Americans is more that they're disappointed that we don't have a pig in the front room, and like not because we don't want to share our culture. Like if an American was genuinely interested in Irish history and knew about where we are now and just wanted to come over here to play Illan pipes with a bunch of elflas in a pub in Turles, like I don't think we'd have a problem with that.
I don't know, Sarah, you know how I feel about trad music.
No, it is pretty terrifying, to be fair.
Thank you, Clina. It is terrifying, just going faster and faster, and everybody knows how to do the Irish dance, and then they're all going in circles but in opposite directions, and it's going faster and faster, and people start going up and doing songs on their own, and they can all play the bleeding violin or the flute or the fucking concertina, and I'm just trying to plot an escape route that's flat enough for me to navigate in the heels I have on. Like, it's too much for a Thursday night girl.
Oh, excellent.
Wait. Oh my god, I'm gonna get this back on track.
Appreciate you, Saoirse. Thank you for taking ownership of that.
Oh, anytime.
But okay, cultural appropriation. Yes. So like, yeah, but like the thing that kind of struck me was that like Liv's kind of like reverence for her culture, it's like properly mirrored in her relationship with her family. Like she really does respect them.
Like, do you do anything like culturally Caribbean with your mom?
Well, like we go to Trinidad to see my cousins like every, I don't know, 5 years or something. But like my mom's more British than Caribbean. Like they left when she was 4.
So yous like don't be doing carnival and like matching costumes like yous are in a Nicki Minaj video.
Oh my god, no. Carnival is crazy. I cannot keep up with that much partying. It is insane.
Ah, here, don't be dry, Saoirse.
Have you ever gotten up at 2 a.m. to start the day?
Here, a 5 a.m. flight isn't exactly a big deal, Saoirse. It's far away, like.
No. To start partying, you get up in the early hours of the morning and you get to sleep whenever you get back, because you're just gonna have to get up before sunrise again for the next party.
In a sparkly bikini with feathers.
Jesus.
I don't think I've ever seen you this rattled, Chloe.
No, it's okay. I just need to rethink some things.
Sounds so ominous.
But, Oh, yeah. But, like, yeah, there was this line, family. There was this line where Liv was saying that, like, her grandparents and parents, like, past choices had provided her with a future. I don't know. That just really stuck out to me. I thought that was a really nice idea.
Yeah, I suppose that was likable.
Like, she was not that bad, Kay.
She was a raging narcissist, dude.
And I don't know that that's fair. Like, she had a narrow view on things, sure.
Oh, come on. Ayn, man, modernization is the devil, but it was okay when her grandmother changed matchmaking for an American market, and it was okay for her to, like, update the furniture in the office, but nobody else could come in and change Chinatown, and, like, she's going on and on and fucking on about how Bennett blatantly disregarded her business needs to do well when, like, he was launching his weird Zodiac dating app, because, like, that's what people do when they're going out on a limb to start a business. Like, worry about the effect on other existing competing businesses so much that they decide, do you know what, I'm going to scrap my whole venture.
But, like, we've all done that, Katie.
I think I'd know if I had told someone that something they did that had nothing to do with me made me upset and, like, that it was their fault.
Him.
What's that, Chloe? Do you have something to add here?
Why, yes, I do, Sarah. Thank you for noticing. I had that bacon roll after we petted the mini pigs at the petting zoo and you took the absolute face off me.
Why would you have bacon after we met the adorable pigs, Chloe?
Why would you care that the fully grown pig that made the bacon in my roll wasn't getting any deader, Katie?
I can't talk to you about this. I'm not going to talk to you. This is crazy.
Like I did notice, Dodd, that Liv sort of thought that everyone would be as invested in the whole business competition drama as she was and, like, be just as pissed off. Like there's one point where she finds out that someone close to her knew about the app ages ago and she's, like, proper pissed off at
yeah,
them.
And I did think that was odd. Like, what did she expect them to do? Like, call her up and be like, oh my God, Liv, there's this app that does the same thing you do for work. I have no suggestions on how to help. Okay, bye.
Yeah, like, I can only assume she had thought that they would have wanted to help her set fire to the offices or something.
Okay, no, like, that's way too smart a plan for Liv. Like, she'd have wanted them to help her tape, like, a kick me sign to the office's back door and expect it to be effective.
Jesus, Katie, like, you're so bitchy about this one. Like, what did Liv do on you?
She did the thing.
Oh, what thing?
The bad thing.
What's the bad thing?
Unacceptable shit. That's what it is, man.
She didn't do the thing. I would have noticed if she did the thing, Katie.
Oh my God, you guys, what thing?
Stating opinions like they're facts.
Oh my God, does that wreck your head too?
It is the most unacceptable shit, man.
But, like, does Liv do that?
No, I'm with Katie on this one. She's constantly at it.
Like, Lunar Love is the original version of Bennett's app.
Yeah, because you invented the Chinese Zodiac.
Compatibility is the only way to have any type of successful relationship.
Yeah, and all the non-compatible couples out there are all, like, doomed to fail. Like, what an asshole thing to think.
Yeah, and, like, Bennett's app is both evil, terrible in how it works, but is also somehow going to steal all of her potential clients.
Yeah, who are, like, lining up down the street right now, except, oh no, wait, no, they're not.
You are way too upset about this.
Like, it's not cool, man. You just can't drop crazy broad statements like that are just based on how you happen to feel about something with no basis in fact whatsoever and just be like, no, this is the way things are.
Why not?
What?
Like, what's the problem with someone saying something that's poorly thought through or that's a hot take? Like, how is that offensive?
Because we're not allowed to do that.
What?
No. I know what you mean, Katie. Like, yeah, the second we'd say something that we don't have the receipts on, whoever we're talking to would just laugh us out of the room and make us feel horrible about ourselves.
Oh, what would you know about that anyway? You're so full of shit. The reasons why you're wrong and probably stupid are the following. Reason the first.
Yeah, like, it just gets to the stage where you're so tired of being laughed at or sort of eye-rolled at that you decide just not to open your mouth anymore unless you have something to say that you know all of the citations for.
Oh my God, like, who are you guys talking to?
Well, like, Derek.
Yeah, like, my brothers too.
Yeah, it'd be daddy for me.
And, like, they never fact check, like, guys. Like, guys can throw out all sorts of half-thought-out shit all the time.
And, like, if you fact check their shit on your side or, like, laugh or call them stupid, everyone's, like, shocked that you're being such a bitch.
It is enraging, man.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess it's making more sense why you weren't kind of feeling this one, Katie.
Well, like, yeah, Liv being, yeah, a total narcissist for, like, the majority of the book was rough.
Dude,
like, 4 out of 5 people sitting at this table enjoyed it, so steady on, okay?
No, like, but I mean, what I was going to say was, like, I mean, I can dislike a character, like, that's not a big deal, but, like, the way it was, like, written or something, like, I don't know, it was, like, really, like, explainy or something.
Okay, you are going to have to give us more than that, man.
Well, like, there wasn't any, like, ambiguity or whatever. Like, there wasn't any room for, like, interpretation or anything.
But, like, it wasn't that type of book, though.
But, like, it's so much better when a book is, like, right in his character's, like, subconscious and, like, we're not sure if they're good or bad or, like, even know what they're doing and, like, we have to, like, figure out a lot of the story and, like, the character's motivation and stuff as we go along. Like, this was all just, and then I did this, and surprise, surprise, I wanted to follow the recipe for the mooncakes, but my crazy date looked up a different recipe before the class. It's almost as though we're polar opposites.
Jesus, man, like, who's given opinions as facts now?
What?
No, Sarah's right. Like, I mean, not every movie needs to be The Godfather, and not every book needs to be Catcher in the Rye, Katie. Like, this is a romance book that's doing exactly what it says on the tin. I really don't understand why your aversion is so strong here.
Like, it's just kind of frustrating when, like, I want to work something out and the book has done it all for me.
Okay, this is exactly the same reasoning you give me for not watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and, like, I can only assume that the real reason behind this is that you don't like fun.
I mean, why would I intentionally watch something that encourages my brain to physically rot, Chloe?
So do a bleeding Sudoku after. Oh, no, wait, you can't because they too hard. Maybe if you took an hour off and watched some shiny TV that you don't need to think about, or, like, read a book, what does all the interpretation for you, you'd have the headspace to get all nine numbers in a line in the right order.
Jesus.
You know your shit, then you can deliver the born.
Duly noted.
But, like, also, I mean, like, we know what the real issue is here. Like, we were never going to have an agreement with all of us being horses and you being a snake, Kate.
I knew it, you snake.
Oh, good Jesus Christ, man. Well, I mean, it's going to be hard for you, Katie, when you going to come to this Zodiac costume party we going to pitch for the ragball next year. Like, I mean, you're just going to be in one leg of green workout leggings or what? What's going to happen?
Okay, first of all, I will dress up as a Slytherin of my choosing. You'd be supporting a transphobe.
Oh, shit.
Oh, you a quick learner, young Sarah. Thank you, thank you.
I mean, you could wear the same outfit Nicki Minaj did in Anaconda.
Okay, that's decided. Next question.
What? No!
It's here to hear first, people. Katie Morphy in a visible pink tongue next year. Ragball. Oh, come God. See
you. Guys!
Wrap the show up quick, Sarah. If we leave it so we don't take this back, she has to do it.
Like, who makes these rules, man?
Okay.
What are you doing?
If you want to see what has triggered Katie enough to warrant the Nicki Minaj outfit penalty we just thought up.
What is happening right now?
Pick up your copy of Lunar Love at any reputable bookseller. You can find out more about our girl Lauren Kung Jessen at laurenkungjessen.com, and do feel free to follow her on Instagram and Twitter at Lauren K. Jessen. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, but in the meantime, if you can, please, 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 please like and subscribe to the show on your podcast platform of choice. You'll hear about our next episodes that way and also help more folks hear about us, and that would be too awesome. Plus, Elsie does do this, like, totally solo and doesn't get paid for it. Such is the extent of her love of books and talking about them. So if you are on for leaving a review, it would really, really help the show and be, like, so sound of you. It's not even funny. You can find us online at www.chicklitforlife.com. All our social media accounts are linked on there. So if you don't have to listen to me list them all out right now, so that's quite good. But yes, if you do want to follow us, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook, even if Facebook does make us sad. If you want to follow, you can find videos, more discussion, and sometimes an insight into our nonsensical group chat. We will see you guys as soon as we can get through our to be read list and figure out what our next series is going to be about. But in the meantime, stay safe, stay hydrated, and we will see you guys later.
Peace.
I'm not doing it. You can't make me.
Hell yes. It's Bootsy here from Two Tours, One Chain. Now, usually, we be here to talk to you all about your bike repair needs, and rest assured, we're still here behind the Oscar Wilde building, ready to sort out all your tire and chain fixing, requirements. But today, we're here to talk about air rights. Air rights, what have been infringed upon. See, we were here talking to the boards What Do The Book Show, and they told us about these Korean blogs that have a song. This song, to be precise. Here, Jono, turn down the music here.
Here, I don't know if we should do this.
Here, I said turn down the music, alright?
Alright?
Yeah. This song, to be precise.
You're just playing that off your phone, are you?
Yeah, the sound isn't badly.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like,
well, yeah, air rights. have been infringed upon right here.
Yeah, what's the... I don't know, man.
Here, turn our music back up.
Oh, shit, yeah. But, like... No, like... I don't think this is it, man.
Two bodies, one purse. Two tours, one shit. It's the same, Jono.
But, like...
I don't want to hear it. Get our attorneys on the phone.
Yeah, but, like, we don't have...
Get them on the phone, I said. Our prices cannot be better. We're coming for you, NCT 127. Two tours, one chain.